Hey, good morning, you guys. I want to answer a few questions this morning, okay? So we had some questions. This is on marriage problems and sex. This is sex within the marriage, okay? This question was by a YouTube listener. The sign-on name is Exie Paul. This is what they wrote. Dear Sherry, I would please like you to throw more light on marriage as regards to sex, because we as children of God would like to build our home before we help others solidify theirs. Must one be submissive, talking about sex, even without having the urge, like it's not there at all? And what can one do when the pressure is unbearable to help the marriage stay when dialogue fails and the man threatens to take another woman? You know, the woman lost the urge and would not like to make her man sin. Maybe the man is not such a believer to understand the situation. What does God lead you to say about this? Thank you. Okay, this is the answer that I feel that God laid on my heart. We're going to look to Scripture, and that's where you go. You go to prayer and you go to Scripture with things like this, okay? Always. That's who you seek. You seek Him first. So, I do want to say in this question, this example, it sounds like you guys are unequally yoked. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" And I also want to read the scriptures that pertain to a man and a woman being submissive to each other. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7:13-16. And this one has to do with being unequally yoked. "And the woman which has a husband that believes not," which sounds like this situation, "and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean," which means out of wedlock, "but now they are holy," which means legitimate. "But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For what knowest thou, or you, O wife, whether you shall save your husband? Or how knowest you, O man, whether you shall save your wife?" So, and that's talking about if one is a believer, one is saved and in Jesus Christ, and one is not. But they're happy and content to live with each other, and they're not fighting and arguing about it. Go ahead and live in happiness and peace. Because many times the one who is a believer will win the one who's lost, okay? So, if you're both happy and content to be married, regardless of who's saved and who's not, then you stay with each other, okay? And you pray for the other one. You pray for their salvation. But that doesn't sound like this is the case here. It sounds like you guys are at the point that he's ready to go, you know, looking for satisfaction and happiness or pleasure elsewhere that he feels like he's not getting at home. Okay, so in that, these now is where I want to go to the scriptures that talk about husbands and wives being submissive to each other. Let's look at Ephesians 5:21-33. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, which means hidden truth. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is Paul talking. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. It's interesting that the Bible tells the husband to love his wife. It doesn't tell the wife to love her husband. And I always think that's because usually we're the ones who love already, and we're the nurturers, and you know what I mean? So that's kind of like already in us. But to the man, he said, love your wife. Okay, and if you see that tells the woman to reverence her husband, to respect and honor your husband, right? Just like we do Jesus Christ. And if the husband is really loving his wife as he loves himself, and as he submits and loves Jesus Christ, Jesus went through all of that at Calvary's cross, all of that bleeding, all of his, you know, skin being torn and ripped from his body, spit on and hit and mocked and all of that. When we were even in sin, we weren't loving him and he did a loving thing back to us. We were hating on him and he did that anyway for us. That's how husbands are to love their wives. Okay, not this, well, if you don't do such and such, I'm going to go out and find somebody who will. Is that loving your wife? As much as Christ loved all of us who were little mean, hateful things at the time he died for us? No, it sure isn't. So, okay, it's an issue of this person not really seeking the Lord and having salvation is what this really boils down to. But let's look at some more scripture about the husband and wives and how they're supposed to be with each other. And I will say this real quick. I hadn't planned on saying this, but I'm going to say it. A lot of times women kind of balk at that. I'm having to submit to my husband? Well, first of all, that's coming from a wrong spirit and a wrong attitude. Okay, when you have a family, or even if it's just the two of you, there are going to be decisions in life. First of all, you want to seek the Lord. Seek him first in everything. And then second of all, you and your husband are going to talk about things and you need to be on the same page, right? So if you just don't come into agreement and can't get to that place where you agree, someone has to have the final say, okay? And the person that has that right and that honor is the husband. That's who God has bestowed that to, okay? For me and my family, usually Scott and I come into agreement. We can usually talk it out and pray on a matter. And I mean, we just don't have very many times where we're having that head button thing going on. Okay. When God is first place in his life and in your life, he just has a way of working it to where you're not in those disputes. It really is about putting him in the middle and him first and then you guys. Okay. So let's look at Colossians 3:18-19. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It is kind of funny that it keeps saying to your own husbands. Like, you know, we have to be told don't be sleeping around, cheating around, and whatever. Okay, but okay, so to your own husband. And I do think that's interesting because when you come in a church setting, there are those people that believe women shouldn't teach or speak or preach or do any of those things. And that's a misunderstanding. I've done a message series on women in the church. But we're not to be submissive to other people's husbands. They don't tell us what to do, right? It's the Lord first and our husband second. So we don't have to listen to, all right? Okay. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You don't want to let anger, bitterness, hatred, any of those things rise up. And there is a scripture. Scott will do me a favor. I know because he's good like that. And put it up on screen. But where it talks about not letting the sun go down on your anger. Don't go to sleep like that. Don't go to sleep mad. Talk it out. Apologize. Pray because you know it says that your prayers the husband's prayers especially will just bounce off the ceiling. They won't go anywhere because God's not going to honor those prayers if you guys aren't in agreement, because he sees the husband and the wife as one in him. Okay. Now, I want to go to Matthew 5:32, and this is going to be Jesus speaking. And he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife," which means divorce her, have nothing to do with her, "except for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery." So everybody will be committing adultery if you put away your wife or your husband except for fornication, right? But remember also what Paul said. If the non-believer wants to leave, then let him go and you live in peace. This, what Jesus is saying, is seems to be a believer husband and a believer wife. If there is adultery in the situation, then it's allowed to get divorced, okay? Otherwise, if you're unequally yoked and one of them isn't wanting to come to the Lord and just getting angry and the marriage is having problems, then Paul says, let them go in peace, okay? Now, this is what I want to say. Sometimes when you love someone, and I know you guys are going to relate to this, you do things that you might not really care to do, like going to a function or a family gathering or whatever it is, okay? And you do that, you don't really enjoy it or didn't really want to go, but you do it to make the other one happy because you love them, okay? Now, and they're going to, in turn, you want to share in their life and what makes them happy, and in turn, they will do that for you too, right? That's the way a healthy marriage is supposed to flow. And, you know, so you do those things because you love each other. And if you are a believer, then you should be praying and lifting this up to God first of all, and ask him to bring back your desire for your husband, to set your relationship on fire, to bring back those affections for each other, and to infuse joy, okay, back into your marriage and into your sex life. God wants you to enjoy each other. He brought you together for this reason, okay, when it's truly of him. And it's a time, sometimes these trials and hardships that come into our life is a time of drawing into him and drawing nearer to him. He uses every hard thing in our life for his glory and his honor, his purpose, when you serve and love him, okay? He's not going to let you go through anything that he's not going to use for his good, for his glory, all right? Now, if your husband doesn't believe, you're the believer and he's not, you should be praying for his salvation first and foremost always, okay? Binding Satan and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over him. You have to fight for him, for his salvation. You have to fight spiritual warfare, okay? Not just praying and interceding. Do that too. But then enter into deeper warfare, okay? Because prayer is warfare, period. Now, so bind Satan, plead the blood of Jesus Christ over him, and ask God to draw him to Jesus Christ for true and real salvation from the heart. Pray for God to give him compassion and understanding and patience, and above all, to give him love for you no matter what, okay? To love and cling to you. And I will tell you, God hates divorce. He hates it. Malachi 2:16. "For the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates putting away," that's the divorcing, "for one covers violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously." Meaning you just decide you saw something that looks better. The grass is greener on the other side. I'm sick of him or I'm sick of her and I'm fed up with this or I'm fed up with that or whatever. And you just make a hasty decision and you just decide you're going to move on. Guess what? You didn't hit your knees. You didn't cry out to the Lord. You didn't plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You didn't search his word. You didn't praise him. You didn't do all the things to draw him into the situation. You didn't really get on your face before him. That's what God's saying, that you deal not treacherously. Don't make hasty, fast, rash decisions. And we do that so much today. The divorce rate is so high. People enter in already with the attitude of, well, if this don't work, I'll just get a divorce and get another one. Okay? God hates divorce. Matthew 19:8, and this is Jesus speaking. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. That was not God's heart and his intent for his people. He never wanted to be allowing that. He allowed it during the Old Testament, during the times of Moses. But Jesus preached a different message. He said, don't put your wives away only for fornication when you're a believer and a believer yoked together. Okay? So I would say talk with your husband. Really talk with him. And before you do, and humble yourself. Don't let pride be an issue either, okay? Talk with your husband, and before you do any talking, and don't let him see you do this either because you don't want to get him mad, okay? In Jesus' name, bind the evil spirits that are at work in him and attacking him. Bind them, okay? So you guys can really talk. And plead the blood of Jesus Christ over him and ask Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to give you the words and to help you guys talk in peace, okay, and to flow in love. Pray and seek God on this. And I want to tell you something. Fasting and praying will help too. Many times when somebody really needs a breakthrough, really needs to hear from the Lord or see him move on something, fasting and prayer is where you have to go. That's a deep humbling before God. Okay? Letting a man sleep with another woman while you're married is adultery and it is sin. God is not in agreement with that ever, and you should not be either. Okay? All of you guys out there, don't be letting your husband or your wife sleep with somebody else because you think that's going to heal your marriage. Look what happened with Abraham and Sarai when she told him to go sleep with Hagar. It was nothing but a big headache and big problems. Then they had to send Ishmael and Hagar away because they tried to make it happen without God being in it. That was not God's best, okay? And it's not his best for you either. Don't do it. Now, really pray in warfare for your marriage. And I want to tell you, never, ever give up unless you just really feel like you're up against a wall and you're really being pressured and you've done all that you can do. Okay? And for those people out there who are being abused physically, verbally and physically, God's not about abuse. You heard Paul saying, live in peace. God, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When those things are happening, that sounds like someone who is not saved, okay? An unbeliever, that sounds unequally yoked. So when you're in a situation of physical abuse and you've done all you can do and seeking the Lord on your face and humbling and praying and warfaring and doing all those things, get out. God does not expect you to stay in an abusive relationship like that, okay? I pray that this has touched your heart and that this helps you guys out there. God bless y'all. Thanks for listening.